Issues, Etc. guest, Dr. Carl Barth, died on February 16, 2020. In his memory, we present This Issues, Etc. Encore.
We each carried a cross and that some of the students had made out of cheap wood and painted it, and I wrote on it my name and my brother's name. He was on internship that year, but it happened to be his birthday that the walkout occurred. So then we each planted the crosses in the quadrangle at Concordia Seminary. I went back and got mine later on.
The voice of a student who participated in a walkout that was staged by the students and a majority of the faculty at Concordia Seminary 40 years ago today. The event known as The Walkout actually was simply the culmination of several years of highly contentious times in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Suspicions about what was being taught at Concordia Seminary, confirmed by a fact-finding committee, dealt with in various ways. And The Walkout was, well, in a lot of ways, the last shot fired in that war, although I think it was intended to be the first by those who actually walked out. It was something that had been brewing there for decades at Concordia Seminary, sometimes ignored, sometimes simply worried about. And finally, the church was forced to deal with the issue, and the occasion of the walkout really gave the opportunity, in a sad way, for the church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, finally to deal with the false teaching at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Joining us to observe the 40th anniversary of the walkout staged by the faculty members and students at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Dr. Carl Barth. He's president emeritus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and he's the last living member of the fact-finding committee appointed by LCMS President J.A.O. Preuss to investigate charges of false doctrine being taught at Concordia Seminary in the 1970s. Dr. Barth, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on the, and this connects to our subject here, what are your thoughts on the life and the contribution of the recently sainted Dr. Paul Zimmerman?
I can't say enough in a praiseworthy manner for him. I tell people that he was my boyhood idol. I was 12 years old when I came to Fort Wayne to begin studying for the ministry, and he was my roombuck. And there was a lot of hazing and other things going on that weren't good, but this man was just a marvelous example to me. And throughout his career, strong and yet kind, never said a bad word to me or harmed me in any other way, was always a protector, and all through I kept contact. We kept contact with one another, and I can't say enough about Paul Zimmerman. He was my idol.
Thinking back 40 years ago today, February 19th, when the faculty, the majority of the faculty and the students at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis staged the kind of famous walkout, were you surprised when you first heard that this event had occurred?
Yes, I was, and I think a lot of people, you know, interpreted it in different ways. And I think to the conservative element, it looked to be a power play to say to the church, leave us alone. I can't believe that they were actually serious about staying out, but rather used it as a threat to be left to their own doing.
Do you think that their intention was to essentially, by this action, to say, as you said, leave us alone, and then hoping that all of the questions about what was being taught there would simply go away?
Well, I don't know if they thought the questions would go away, but I think they were letting the church know that this is where they stood, and they didn't want to be, you know, attacked or questioned as to how they were carrying on their teaching of theology.
At the time, not necessarily of the walkout, but in the years leading up to it, that were very tumultuous times in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, how widely understood do you think by the average layperson in the LCMS, how widely understood was what was going on, what was being taught at Concordia Seminary?
Well, if you say the, the average layperson, I would think that the average layperson was not very much aware of what was going on at the seminary. There were, of course, many who were, and they were very, very active in expressing themselves also. But by and large, I don't believe that, you know, the average layperson was fully aware of what was being taught at the seminary.
What about among the pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at the time? How widely understood was it among them, Dr. Barth?
Well, I think much more so, of course. And again, there were many who were completely unaware of what was going on. And it was, you know, almost, I can't say without going into all the questions and answers and so forth, but became very evident, you know, that they did not want to be bothered and were trying to keep it on their own. I remember one question in particular when we asked someone if they believed that the Lord had turned water into wine. And the professor answered, well, I wouldn't want to say that he couldn't have. Those are the kind of answers that we received. I think mainly the average pastor, too, was not fully aware by any means of what was going on.
So in the course of the investigation that you had the opportunity to partake in, the fact-finding committee that was appointed by then-President J.A.O. Preuss, what specific things did you discover, along with the rest of the committee, that were being taught by the faculty, or the majority of the faculty at Concordia Seminary?
Well, I think the whole issue of, you know, biblical inerrancy and was in question in the minds of many, and very, very disturbing. But I felt that we, too, felt the pressure, because to interview 40, 45 people for a couple hours each was very, very hard. I'm sure it was hard on them, but it was certainly hard on us. I came home the first time after 2 days of solid meeting and said with a smile on my face to my wife, she met me at the airport, I said, please don't talk to me. I'm worn out. And smiled when I said it, of course, but it was difficult for them, but it was difficult for us, too.
Were the faculty members forthcoming when asked direct questions about what they believed the Bible said and didn't say, or what they believed about biblical inspiration or authority or any of those things? How forthcoming were they, Dr. Barth?
Well, I thought they were quite ambivalent in terms of, you know, not going into any detail and trying to make it look as good as they could, as I indicated from the one example that I gave. We bore them no animosity, and I have to say again, to Dr. Zimmerman's credit, he was so calm, and he never let things get out of hand. He was just a great blessing to the church.
In the end, even though much of their response was rather ambiguous or evasive, what were the basic conclusions that the fact-finding committee were able to draw?
Well, you know, as I said, I haven't looked at our report anymore, but I just feel that we were very convinced that things were not as they should be in terms of the doctrinal position of the faculty.
At the time, you were, a pastor, kind of a mid-career pastor. What was your sense for the church at that point? What was your fears, your anxieties about the state of things in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod at the time?
Well, I was in 1974. I was district president, and so it was of great concern to me and to you know, our pastors and to the young people that were coming out into the ministry too. So obviously, it was an extremely important time in the history of our church body. Also for our pastors and their leadership.
With that opportunity, Dr. Barth, what are your thoughts on how all of it kind of, a lot of times these circumstances unfold without anyone really being able to control the course of the train, so to speak? In the years leading up to this, there had been convention resolutions expressing concern. At some point, President J.O. Preuss simply had to take some action. How do you evaluate how it finally went down?
Well, I think it was ultimately a blessing to the church. We don't wish any of them, harm of any kind, but we certainly felt that changes had to be made at the seminary, and I don't believe that they didn't seem to us that the faculty really wanted to leave, but that they were really making a threat, leave us alone.
After the walkout and the subsequent events, it was the seminary, in both in terms of its student body and its faculty, was really reduced to just a handful of men. I've seen pictures of Dr. Robert Preuss sitting in a classroom with five or six men there, and he was one, I believe, of five faculty members that was left. What was rebuilding that institution like?
Well, I had nothing to do with that at all, but I'm sure it was a very, very, very difficult thing for her suddenly to, you know, try to replace all the different disciplines of theology with people who would be adequately trained and gifted to carry on the important work of the seminary. So it was an extremely difficult time for those people that had that as their task.
If you were to explain it to someone who was not yet born in 1974 about what caused this turmoil in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the mid-70s and what eventually led to the walkout at Concordia Seminary, how would you describe it to him, Dr. Barth?
Well, I think that the whole climate in the Christian faith, including all non-Lutherans, was it was during a time when the age-old teachings of the Christian Church were in danger of being done away with, just as today we see Christian churches that, you know, don't take a stand anymore against abortion or against gay marriage. And I think that that all these differences in doctrine that were creeping in became more and more evident to the church general, and that's why they were calling also for something to be done.
Dr. Carl Barth is our guest. He's president emeritus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's the last living member of the fact-finding committee appointed by LCMS president J.A.O. Preuss to investigate charges of false doctrine being taught at Concordia Seminary in the 1970s. When we come back, one of the common criticisms of how the church handled that incident was that the faculty there was treated unfairly and denied due process. We'll get Dr. Barth's response right after this.
The Book of Jonah was the one that was forever coming up in the press. The assumption was that the Book of Jonah was a historical work. There was a Jonah who got swallowed by the whale, and so on. Some of us at the seminary were saying, yes, that's a wonderful, wonderful story. It's really a teaching story that has a point to tell. But the opponents in the Missouri Synod insisted that that story had to be understood literally, and if we did not, then we were, in fact, teaching false doctrine.
One of the former faculty members at Concordia Seminary in the 1970s explaining from his perspective what the issues at play were when a majority of the faculty there was accused and found guilty of teaching false doctrine. Dr. Carl Barth is helping us remember the 40th anniversary of the walkout staged by faculty members and students at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's president emeritus of Concordia Seminary. Dr. Barth, one of the common criticisms, I'd like your response to it if you would, one of the common criticisms about how things were handled in those days was that the faculty was treated unfairly, that they were denied due process. How would you respond to that?
Well, I respond to it only by saying that what they did, they had to do in view of the action of the committee. The action of the faculty, the majority of the faculty, in walking out. That was their declaration of war, and I don't think the church had any alternative but to say, you know, if that's what is in store, you want to be left alone, you're letting us know with this power play, then we're going to have to say goodbye.
How would you respond to someone who says, well, more was made of it than really needed to be? Maybe the church should have just left the faculty there at Concordia Seminary alone as they apparently wanted to be.
I think that would have been, I would say to them that had that happened, I fear that our church body would have not gone down the drain, but would have suffered and would be suffering today what so many churches are suffering, and that is a complete loss of doctrinal certainty on the basis of Holy Scripture.
The faculty that left eventually formed a seminary in exile, and then within less than 10 years, actually right around 10 years, a lot of those, the few congregations that left in that faculty ended up associated with a rather large merger, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And much of what you just described there has actually come true in that largest of Lutheran church bodies. What are your thoughts on the course of that they chose to pursue?
Well, I think it's very, very sad, and, you know, it bear no personal, and we didn't at that time, any personal animosity to these people, but very, very saddened that things had come to that pass, and that they were joining, you know, a church body which obviously did not take the same stand on the basis of Scripture that we in the, as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did.
During your time serving as president of Concordia Seminary, I was privileged to be a student there during some of the years that you served there. How do you think the institution learned the lesson of the 1970s and of the walkout?
Well, I don't know. I think that when things like happened during that time, that while it's a very difficult time and can be a dangerous time, on the other hand, it can lead the people of the church to a new appreciation of what has been the historic doctrinal position of the church, and can make the church stronger than it might have been without that trouble.
When you when did you graduate from the seminary, Dr. Barth?
1947.
When you graduated, did you have any idea what lay ahead for you? Could you have imagined what lay ahead for you?
Oh, my goodness, no. And, you know, I always say, even to this day, the highest office in the church is to be the pastor of a congregation. My father taught me that. He was a vice president of the synod, president of a seminary. But and I can tell you, as I look back, while I enjoyed my entire ministry, I can say that the happiest time was that time when you have the love of your people, and you love the people, and you're working with the people directly. That's the best job.
Is that what was really, truly at stake? The comfort that a pastor can bring to the people of God in whatever congregation he serves in the 1970s, is that a major part of what the battle for the Bible was really fought over?
Well, you know, if we don't have that, all the good feelings in the world aren't going to save a person if he's lost the doctrinal basis of what he believes. Then personal relationships, you know, may be fine, but you can have good personal relationships and still go to hell, huh?
In a conversation that we had several years ago with Dr. Paul Zimmerman, I remember him relating some of the what happened during the fact-finding committee in the 1970s, and he said that some of the faculty members would kind of state their position on, oh, that Jonah was a mythical character, or that Adam and Eve were not historical characters, but then they would add the caveat that this is not the kind of thing that they expected, you know, the lay people. We're not supposed to hear these conversations. This was for the seminary professors, their conversations. Did you hear any of that, and what would your response be?
Well, that is to, you know, make of the pastoral thing an elite group that can go on by its own way and in its own manner and with its own standard, and that has never been the position of the Christian church.
You say that you you were serving as a district president at the time and then returned to your duties. What was congregational life like where you were serving immediately after the walkout, Dr. Barth?
Well, I didn't notice anything particularly different, if that's what you mean. I think that the concern was that the men who came out following that, you know, might have picked up some of the theology which was not biblical.
Well, finally then, Dr. Barth, why should a young Lutheran who's listening to us care about the battle for the Bible in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod back in the 1970s?
Well, he should be thankful that the church, though it was plagued at that time with things that were not pleasant, returned to a solid basis so that when they hear the sermons preached today, they know they're coming from a man who is firmly convinced that the will of God for the salvation of the world and for the rule of the church is clearly stated in the Bible, and that it is imperative for a church body and the pastors and the people to have that trust that the Jesus whom they are worshiping is indeed the Jesus that is portrayed for us in Holy Scripture.
Dr. Carl Barth is President Emeritus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He's the last living member of the fact-finding committee appointed by the LCMS President J.A.O. Preuss to investigate charges of false doctrine being taught at Concordia Seminary in the 1970s. Dr. Barth, thank you very much for your time, and thanks for your faithful service to the church.
God bless you.
One of the biggest lessons I learned out of that entire thing: the gospel is always at stake. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.